All right, what up, guys? Welcome back to our second episode of the Bail Cast.
Yeah, picked by you guys. So we asked all our fans what we should name this. One of them was going to be Crazy Man, Normal Woman. And then they call
us...
Because
she thinks I'm crazy. I don't even think I'm that crazy.
Well, we'll see, right? We'll see.
I'll let you know. Yeah.
And then we call... So we have like this pet name for each other. We call ourselves like the Bears, but then we try to be... Well, he started it. And he would call me Bea, like Mama Bea, where the R's a W. Yeah.
I'm a cute motherfucker, you know.
Yeah.
So then we just became the Bears. So that's what they picked.
I love it. Thank you guys. Ever dress up as...
As what?
Bears.
He was about to say Bears.
Is this a... No.
No, what is that called?
The furries.
Fuzzies or furries. Yeah, furries, you're right. Yeah, no, yeah. We're not into furries.
Yeah, but I also want to introduce our guest today, Tate Fletcher.
I'm honored to be here, man.
Pro MMA fighter.
That's amazing.
Owner of Caveman, or one of the owners of Caveman Coffee. And I see him in literally every single movie, TV show, whatever.
Video game.
All the time.
Video games.
Yeah.
And so I just want to talk about all of that stuff because it's so intriguing to me. Like, I feel like you should be the Dos Equis man, like the most interesting man in the world.
A few more years, who knows?
Yeah.
Could be the trajectory.
Damn. Yeah.
So yeah, tell me, how did you get into, I mean, like, this is probably rewinding a lot, but how did you get into
all of it? Yeah.
MMA. And then how did that become, you take the pro route and then coffee and then movies?
I've just been real fortunate.
Yeah.
Is how I see it. I had a version with, I had a history where I worked myself into a horrible predicament and I'd met the end of the road in drinking and drugs and my whole lifestyle. Earlier today, I was at the store. I was at the bank and I'm depositing a check. I just sold a house yesterday.
Congratulations.
Oh, nice. And
a LA home?
One in New Mexico. And I'm putting the check in today.
Yeah.
And so we're doing all that. And she's like, okay, you need anything else? And out of the drawer. And I go, yeah, just empty it, you know? And I hadn't said that but I'd said that seriously before in my past.
Yeah.
And that had got me in horrible wrecks, you know? Yeah. And I thought, wow, what a difference life is, you know? But my thing was, is like, I think it can get boiled down to of like wellness and illness and like what that is for me today too, is the same thing as a kid and growing up. And my aversion to taking responsibility or being accountable for almost anything was so strong that you just end up in this kind of selfish bubble where you think everybody's against you in a way, you know, there's a horrible kind of bubble you could get put into there. And I was really, I kind of had my life plucked out, I guess, by some guys that took enough interest in me. And I had an eagerness about me that I was willing to work, that they're like, you know, we can show you a different way of how to live. And that kind of became the start of the conversation. And in that...
That sounds like you were the guy at the club that was good at beating people's asses. And then they're like, hey, do you want to fight?
Have you ever thought about fighting before?
And or would you like to help out with some blue-collar work?
It's kind of true. It's like this guy, He was a stick fighter, Arlen Sanford.
What's a stick fighter?
Yeah,
he ran the Dog Brothers, and the Dog Brothers was a mixed martial arts group that wanted to see the efficacy of their sport. And so they go, okay, let's see if we exchanged hits and we didn't have helmets and gear and everything on, would this outcome have been the same when Eric Knaus and Arlen had a fight at an international stick fighting competition, and they were curious, and so they fought each other without armor for the rest. Filipino sticks, bare knuckle.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
It's a full no holds barred kind of event.
Is it called a Kali? Is that
Kali, Eskrima, Kabrong? There's depending what region you're from, And kind of the Dog Brothers brought everything together and says, whatever you want to do with armed combat here that isn't a trajectory weapon, we'll go ahead and we'll fight you. And so they fought guys with chains, other guys with sticks, with bow staffs, with nunchucks.
It's like modern gladiators.
A whip. And so they just wanted to see.
Were there lions?
How do you say it so chill? He's just like, you know, they brought broken glass, fire.
They just wanted to see what was real. You know, there was so much of like a lot of make-believe around it. Like if you get hit with a stick, this is going to happen. He's like, well, let's see. And so that was kind of my beginning. And then when he got to the ground, it's a wrestler's world or jiu-jitsu guys, and that kind of got me into jiu-jitsu. So I got into jiu-jitsu through stick fights.
How old were you at that point?
I was 23, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I think 23, 24 when I did a stick fight first. And then I really got into it a couple years later and I just
did
never
looked back.
Did you
get sticks too or the other person just had
everybody.
Sticks? Everybody. Okay, everyone gets
sticks. Yeah, and you can fight with two sticks if you want. One became a fist fight if you lost it. On the ground, you're choking guys.
Oh my
that
God.
That sounds so badass.
It's dope. There'd be like 15 or 20 guys that would come to the park to fight down Hermosa Beach.
Oh, shit.
But there'd be like 300 around. Just like they would bring coolers and lawn chairs and everybody just kick back and they'd watch these guys. And it would be kind of like, You want to fight next? It would be like asking somebody on a date.
Almost. It's like an open court, like a volleyball game.
And then there would be a guy, and you'd go to Mark, and you'd go, "Hey, we're going to go ahead and take the next fight." He's like, "Okay, you guys are right after these guys," and then you go out, clank sticks, and then you go.
What are the injuries like when you get hit with a stick?
I mean, you can get knocked out, or I mean, people break hands. I guess generally because that's the first target, right?
Yeah.
If this is the first thing out, it's what I want to. So that's kind of that's what drew me into. My first discipline, my first really knowledge about a flow state was then.
Oh, I see.
Like when a stick is ringing by your head and you have to be right here, right now in this ultra-present way or there's this heightened consequence.
Yeah.
It was, and it really struck me. I was like, it's almost like there's a God entity here. When he and I are here giving ourselves to each other in this way, it's like there's
and
that's kind of what drew me into fighting. I mean, this was before jiu-jitsu for me. It was before anything like that. And that feeling and that it was almost like a conversation.
It's like sex between two dudes.
I mean, completely. It's like this
heterosex.
This totally heterosex.
Yeah.
With guys that it's and that's what I would tell my mom too. And she'd be like, "God, are you mad at each other or what?" I said, "Do you know how much you have to love somebody to punch them in the face every day?"
Yeah.
It's like you go to work basically
cool
with your training
that?
Partners. It's what it is, you know?
Yeah.
And it's better than what it was.
Yeah.
You know, that was a huge aspect of it, of like almost anything was healthier than how I was living. And so then I, you know, there's a whole bunch of years that go by with all that with, you know, I was so into fighting that I turned away from film career at first. Like there was a first time I got in a movie and I was like, I don't think this is going to be something that I could really do.
What was the first movie?
Yeah,
it was called Lockdown. It was Master P film. You might be familiar with some of his work. He and the No Limit Soldiers rolled up through Santa Fe, New Mexico. And then they came in the club and said, "Hey, we need some big dudes for this prison film we got going on. Come on out and try out." And I said, "All right." And so me and a bunch of friends went out and we got SAG cards through it and all that.
Oh, that's dope.
The guy that was the stunt coordinator on that, he was also the stunt coordinator on Equalizer 10 years later. He gave me my SAG card for, I did this fall off, like, did a whole bunch of fight, all sorts of shit. I didn't know what I was doing. It was like, and they're trying to not pay me for anything also.
Yeah,
it's like the production is like, okay, you'll be an extra on these days. And then on these days, you'll get paid $900. And I was like, all right, cool. I don't know anything. And then SAG sends me a letter. "Hey, is this what's going on? You're paid for all this." So they gave me a check at the end.
Oh,
of
nice.
And I was like, this is sick.
Yeah.
But then I was like, it still doesn't seem like reasonable. And I was working one job. And everybody I knew in Santa Fe to make a living is working three jobs. And so I was like, I'm just going to stay here. I'm doing this wrestling thing I like a lot. And I'm just going to keep competing.
Wait, so you're doing that thing, getting 900 a day, and you're like, I'd rather whack someone with a stick?
Yeah, but it's not, you know, that's the thing is there's a long time in between those jobs. You know?
Oh, right.
I don't know. There's so much of that whole course, but the fighting was just kind of an expression of that, of like a deepening of like, who are you under these circumstances?
Yeah.
Who are you when you strip away this thing that you've been practicing, you've been working on? Are you going to be able to do it when the lights are on in real time?
Can you
do it when it matters?
Yeah.
Oh,
and that kind of a thing, you know, when I say a lot, like your enemies, your friends, your mom, your loved ones, guys that need you to win, guys that are dying for you to fall. Everybody's watching you in your underwear, basically, you know, and they're
so
waiting.
True.
And it's like, who are you with that kind of pressure? And so I feel like even now, like I'm in the middle of writing this book and I'm writing a lot about obstacles, but a lot about like being able to curate myself without noise, but to create more usefulness for myself in the world, you know? And that's really the endeavor with Caveman Coffee was like, it was almost like a whim. It was like Keith and myself and Lacey were like, we were fans of coffee and all this stuff kind of fell together and we're like, we've got this brand. But then I'm like years later, I didn't know about starting a business or creating an exit strategy or any of these things, you know,
you're just going with the flow.
And then I go, how do I curate this? I'm responsible for this now. Now this is either noise or it's something that's a gift in the community. What are you going
to
do with it?
Oh, it's dope.
It's your baby now.
That's a dope way to look at it.
And it really became like that. Cause it's like, again, how do you, okay, once you go, I'm going to adopt responsibility for my life so that I can live freely. Well, then what's the next thing? Well,
yeah.
To grow, it's adopt more responsibility. It's just like putting weight on the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And guys like you make it look easy to move weight up and down, up and down.
Oh, thank you.
And then a newcomer comes in and looks at that and is like, I get under that and do that. And they go right to the floor.
Yeah.
And it's like, you just haven't put that time in. And so I think that these things layering up, it's like I've been eating up obstacles in that way and just really trying to smile at them for the nutrition that they are. To build a better me tomorrow.
That's an amazing way to look at it.
That is dope. I mean, and something that I just keep picking up on, and just knowing you, like I met you, I think it was like at the Fit Expo.
Or in Ohio, I think the first time, maybe at the Arnold's.
Oh, right, yeah. Right. Through Mark Bell.
At Mark Bell's booth.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Shout out to Mark. And then since then, like immediately just off the bat, you have like this presence and this energy about you where you're just like, I don't know who you are, but I already feel like I know you here. What's up? And you've always been a yes person. Like every time I've had any sort of encounter with you, it's always been like a yes. Yes, that's dope. Or yes, I want to do that. Like you're here now. Like, I don't know what the conversation, like the exchange was.
I'll tell you, I was so excited.
Really?
Because I saw you.
That's so nice.
You were like, man, this is too much. I'm doing this other stuff. I've got to find another way to express myself. And this is going to take an out. And I was like, wow, how cool. And
look
then,
at you. You're doing it again.
Yeah. I don't know. But I think in that way, it's like I get in my head. There's such a darkness. It's such a bad neighborhood. I sit alone. Ooh, the world gets dark. And I get around people, man, there's a vibrancy. And like when you connect ideas and you really can come together with people, there's not much better than that. And I think that whole responsibility thing too is like, you know, am I responsible of the driver next to me? Am I responsible of everybody getting theirs? Because can I really win if somebody else isn't? And that being the kind of mindset, it's the only thing that gets me out of bed. It's like, otherwise, what's the point, kind of?
Yeah.
And the only way I get freedom is through service in that way, you know? And yeah. I got to be with people.
That's dope. So then you were doing a lot of this, the stick fighting, right?
Yeah.
And then that just kind of, how did that transition into like you just going professional?
Well, it was a natural transition. I went from stick fights, and then I only did it, like, I did them a lot for like 3 years, and then I only did a few for the next 10 years. But your knuckles would get cracked, and then you can't grab a gi or something. So I was probably a blue belt or purple belt at that time. And I was doing a lot of gi tournaments, and I would be out of training. I couldn't grab. I didn't have the same effectiveness. And so it's one or the other. And then I just was grappling tournaments. And then after I was a purple belt, I had the opportunity to fight for King of the Cage. And then I fought for them a few times and a couple other places in Hawaii and different little regional shows and WEC before they got bought by the UFC. And then the UFC, the Ultimate Fighter Show. And all that stuff. I mean, yeah, it's been a trip. But
I like,
it's like
how you're like downplaying all of this. But like I'm like, what else happened?
Well, yeah. I feel like I just showed up and I paid attention, you know. And it seems amazing, right?
Yeah.
And for real talented people, it probably is. I'm not. I'm
you're
mediocre,
very humble.
But I show up. You
you're
know?
Very humble.
Yeah.
And I'll outwork people, and I knew that. Yeah. You know, I knew there was guys that, but I knew I would outwork them. And in that too, I was like, I was there for different reasons in a way too. I was like, man, how'd I end up at the Super Bowl?
That's kind of
because this is just a thing where I'm trying to find out more about me.
Yeah.
And already way past, I'm at the late end of that envelope of that curve for everybody. And so I was just like, it's just cool to be in competition with dudes that are 10, 15 years younger than me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that became, you know, a real conversation of like, so how long do you keep this going? You're not going to wear a belt. And so you can fight for 5 more years or something, or what happens? And at that time, Liddell had come through my gym in Santa Fe. He's just up there visiting. And
Chuck Liddell?
Yeah, and we were talking, and he was, I think he was just in his first retirement.
Same haircut?
same facial hair, same haircut.
Yeah. I know, he looks exactly the same since forever.
I don't think he can change.
And he's about to fight again, and he looks fantastic.
He is.
He's about to fight Tito.
Yeah.
For Bellator.
Who do you think is going to win?
Oh, Chuck is going to, I mean.
He already beat him
historically
twice,
speaking,
right?
He handles him like a big brother. Like, it's just. He's so devastating. Ooh. He's a powerful and such a talented guy.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's looking at that and I like, he could fight 5 more years, but he shouldn't.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I started, and you think about banking money and all that. And this guy came through that was in the film business, and I was rolling jiu-jitsu with him a bunch, and he's like, hey, man, I'm doing this other film. Would you like to check it out? And it was Paul, a movie about a little alien going across the Southwest in a motorhome. And then a couple months later, I'm on Red Dawn. And then I go, this could be a real thing. And then I just start, you know, and then I just said yes a lot. And there's not money in it. And it's like, I'm in a lot of shit now. But at that time, I would fly across the country with my last $400 to shake your hand if you're a stunt coordinator on a movie that was doing action shit that maybe I could know your name and you could at least know I was in the mix.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just like that for years, you know, to... you just, that's what you're doing. You're just seeking guys out and going, hey man, here's my skill set. Nice to meet you and see you later. And that put in enough word, I guess.
That's so sick. Cause momentum. It paid off now where I see you everywhere. And I could almost, like I was telling my wife,
he literally guessed, we were watching Jumanji and like just the tone of the film and that specific scene, he goes, I think Tate's gonna come out right now.
And, then, and I called
and it. And like not even 15 seconds later, like you were in the hallway, I think with The Rock or something, right? Yeah. And we're like, I was like, what? He's everywhere.
Yeah, what a privilege, man. Like that showing up there, not knowing that. I don't know I'm gonna get that part. There's 12 of us or something there, you know? And they're like, who do you want and what area and all that? And you get placed and it's just like, it's tremendous.
So all those post-it notes I've been working on a bunch of movies, like writing them. So that's like my background. Like I wrote a bunch of sketches, probably like over 300 three-to-five pagers. And so me and my partner were like, hey, let's write something long form. So we've been writing a couple of movies, and so as we're like writing movies, and we also have a more experienced partner, there's times where like you want the hero to shine, or you just know certain moments that need to happen. Mm-hmm. And I've also started watching enough like action movies where I see you pop up and I'm like, this is a Tate Fletcher moment right here. And it would pop up like all the time. Like even the one with that, I think it's an Amazon series with Jean-Claude Van Damme. Yeah, I was like, Tate would be perfect here. And then you pop up.
Yeah.
And I'm calling all these. I'm like, I knew it.
And do you know about that? That like, so that character, I don't know if they bid it or not, but it looks an awful lot like this character in Red Dead Redemption 2.
I
never worked for Rockstar Games ever.
That was
I came up in Grand Theft Auto. Like that wasn't me either. Like it's like
you just have such a dope look.
But I think that somebody sees something like that and they're like, "That's a dope character. How do we use that?
We need this."
And I was like, "That's fucking awesome. How cool is that?"
That's so tight. Like you don't even care to get like any sort of royalty or cut from. You're just like, "I'm so honored that I'm in that."
It's cool. It's just cool to be. You know, it's cool to be in the game, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the whole deal is like, for me, I just go, like I said, you know, I know I don't work those guys or whatever. There's no special talent, but at the same time, it's like, how do you know, what's the next move? You know, because the picture is bigger than this little game you're playing right now. And so how do I start to, and that would be what I'd start looking at. I'd start looking at those long games like that and go, okay, if I can jump into this film thing, I'll be 5 years ahead 5 years from now if I don't take another fight.
Yeah.
But you got to say no to the fight, and that's hard. And I couldn't go into, like, I didn't go back to Jackson's gym for, I don't know, 2 years or something.
Even that's where you used to
in Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. Just even to go in, it was like it would smell like that, and then you're not working, and it's like it feels shitty if you're an athlete, and then there's people doing your thing, and you're not doing that thing. You're sitting there. Ooh.
Yeah.
I feel you. I feel you.
Yeah, or injured, being pregnant, anything.
You
go in and you go and you sit at the gym and you watch people work. But there's a tremendous merit in it, I think, also, is that there's a burning in my soul that happens when I do that. And I go, okay, let's work hard, you know, when I'm well again.
You know, I actually have that right now. And it's kind of weird where it's my bucket list. So I just started doing Muay Thai and kickboxing.
Uh-huh.
And my coach, Ron Skullsding, he's from Team Oyama. He comes out and he trains me twice a week in my driveway because I just don't have time to go to a gym.
Yep.
So the minute he shows up, we train really hard for an hour and then he leaves. And then the other days, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, after my weights, I shadow box and I hit the bag and stuff. And I have this burning desire to do at least one amateur fight. And it's not going to make me any money. It doesn't really
add. I know.
Yeah, it doesn't add to my career or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I'm also scared to death.
That's why to do it.
Yeah, I don't know why it is. Like, I wrestled in high school, right? And sometimes you do tournaments and you wrestle five dudes. I think, but like getting pinned, it's not the same as getting knocked the fuck out. So I think that's why I'm so like, I'm so scared, but it's also what compels me to do it. Do you have any advice for us?
I think it's beautiful.
I just gotta go do it.
I don't have any of that.
I'm just in awe and admiration. Because to take on life like that is what I believe is the reason that, I mean, we're here to break that next bubble of our consciousness and get bigger and grow deeper with each other and all like, and you gotta, and the only way to do, I was in the bookstore today getting a book that a friend recommended, and it's in.
You don't buy things off Amazon?
Spiritual awareness, I do sometimes. But if I can go into a bookstore, goddamn, I just, I love to be in with the books. I do.
Like be physical with it?
I do. Yeah. And then I end up in there 4 hours or something. But, you know, you look at all the stuff and then you think about what the echoes are on Instagram that trickle down.
Yeah.
And everybody political or whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
And then you look at all these books and like, here's freedom, how to get past yourself, getting out of your way. And all these things that we could be attacking instead of attacking out here.
Yeah.
And so that comes back to that thing when I was thinking about responsibility. I'm like, it's if I'm really noticing how fucked up you guys are doing it, I'm really in a bad way personally, you know, to take care of my own spiritual and emotional health like that. And it's like what you're doing, it's like to not express that, how much of a little cancer does that cause in you?
Yeah.
This unexpression of this thing that's burning in me. I mean, the same thing Jason Ellis did. He's like, I've got to take some fights. And so he fights guys. He throws Ellis Mania and he goes and he fights pro guys and he'll do a minute around and he does all kinds of crazy stuff, but it's the same thing. He's, you know, this old athlete that doesn't skateboard anymore, but it's like, I want to get after it in this different way. And who am I as a man? Can I take care of myself as a human being, as a citizen? Am I helpful and
you're
useful to the highest
again.
Degree?
You're
you know,
speaking to me again.
You're gonna do a fight too?
Do we
the same tournament?
No, I don't know. I don't know if I have that in me. Like, I'm not a big fan of contact or whatever. I'm kind of like in the middle of both of you actually, where I literally feel like I can't feel anything. Like, I feel like I'm going to try it and I'm like, it's either going to work and it's not. And if it doesn't work, I'm like, all right, well, what's the next thing that's going to happen?
And you're outside of the result 100%. You're just like, I've just walked through this. I don't have a fear of my ego looking a certain way through it or anything.
I mean, I do have that for sure. I'll have that. But I think my curiosity is bigger than, I guess, the ego that I'll have.
And it doesn't seem like you take a loss as a failure that most people do. Because for you, it's like, okay, it didn't turn out the way I want. Instead of calling it a failure, it's just more of a learning experience.
Yeah, because I'm just like, man, I actually, like, that's dope that I even tried to do that. Like,
or you can see, if I'd have adjusted that, it would have had this outcome or something. Yeah. And you got higher self-esteem than we do. I think so.
Because with me, I kind of have that. I have that perspective, right? Where I'm like, okay, what am I made of? Sign up for an amateur fight.
I don't have that though.
But if I get like my teeth kicked in, I'm gonna be sad for like 2 weeks. I'm gonna be like, fuck, it was supposed to be a learning experience, but I got fucked up. My friends were there, my wife was there, everyone's watching.
No, you don't. You're full of shit. You have like no shame.
I'd be sad as fuck.
What you hope for is a long, horrible, bloody 3-round fight that shows you who you are, that maybe you can leave with a big scar on your face. That's what you hope for.
That's your
best result.
What? Yeah. I don't understand that.
or maybe if I could just kick that guy's ass in like 10 seconds, that'd be awesome.
But I've done that before.
But you don't learn anything.
There's
from that.
Nothing there.
Yeah.
And so there's what? All this training you did for 10 seconds?
True.
Find out who you are. Dig deep.
Yeah,
in
you
there.
Want a brawl, right?
We've seen those fighters, right? Yeah. That like cry when it ends really fast.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
just like, damn it.
It's like a premature ejaculation.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Like, yeah. No, I don't have the, like, the only thing I do want to actually experience, and you might know some people that can do this. I do want to see what I'm made out of by being put in a fucked up scenario.
Like being kidnapped?
Yeah.
Like
you went right to kidnap.
I'm glad he didn't go to straight rape. Yeah, I'm glad he didn't go to straight rape.
Well, I don't
want to
injure you, but it's, so I'm picturing like someone duct tapes your eyes, ties you up, takes you like 4 states away and you got to figure out a way to come home.
Either that,
it's like an escape room of the world.
Like a real, like, I want to feel that because, like, I don't want to be put in a fight situation. Like, I don't want to feel that. I never want to physically hurt anyone. Like, as many times as I'm like, oh, I wish I could fuck this person up. Like, I really don't want to.
No.
She's a big, softy, nice person.
No, I'm not. I'm like tough. You didn't hear that. No, but I do want to know, like, I've never been in a fight my whole life. I've been like punked by my brothers and sisters and stuff, but like never by like.
So you owe them an ass kicking.
Yeah, I'm coming for you guys. No, but kidding. I want to know what I'm made out of. Do you know anybody that can like kidnap me and not kill
you,
me?
You got to be so careful right now on the internet and everything. Oh my God. They'll be like, I was just doing her a favor. I don't know.
I know. Right, I fucked up. Right. I mean, I'm just kidding, guys. No, but I really do want to know, like, if I'm sure a fighter or a flighter.
There's got to be escape rooms and stuff like that. Don't you think that are like super real? Or that Michael Douglas, The Game, way back in the day. That. Did you see that?
No, there is this one thing.
Terrifying.
Oh, we were watching it. We didn't finish watching it.
Oh, that movie? It might be corny by now, but when I was a little kid, I watched that and I was creepy. Like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Well, I mean, what are you looking for? You're looking just to see, like,
when the
chips are down.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what's better? What you can do anywhere? Just pay attention. And you see somebody at the movie theater in line and they're shitty to somebody else. You go, hey, act right.
That's true.
You know what I mean? You can act, you can demand other people's respect. That's true. You know what I mean? You can.
Yeah.
You can do a lot. There's a lot that people can do that they walk by and go, I don't want to bite off that trouble.
What if I did that to you and you were having a bad day? I'm like, hey, act
then
right.
You're gonna get your ass beat.
I know.
And then I'm like, you know what? Jump in and get my ass beat too.
It just, by and large, I think what happens is it shakes people out of themselves and go, we're amongst other humans, man. We're all just trying to human through the day here.
Have you done that before where you're like, hey, act right. And then someone gave you
some shit?
Yeah, I don't
like it when people are rude. I mean, and so, I'm like, manners matter. You know, I'd be really nice like that and tell them, but like, I'm going to tell them because that's another unexpressed thing. If I see somebody doing an injustice to somebody else, I just feel like obligated to say, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you be that vocal if you didn't know how to fight?
I could never say that. Oh, I mean, I guess, yeah. Because before I always thought I knew.
Since,
you know,
gotcha.
Cause you're a little kid. You're like, shit, man, you know?
Yeah.
I beat up my two buddies all the time.
Yeah, you're supposed to. Everybody goes down there. We got one pair of boxing gloves. Okay, you want left or right today? And that's no bullshit. Almost probably every little boy listening probably had some experience
Yeah.
Bite on a Gatorade cap. It'll be a mouth guard.
What the fuck?
Boys don't problem solve awesome. I mean, sometimes they might hit the mark, but it's accidental.
Yeah, you guys have fun, though.
We have fun.
I hear the boy stories, and I'm like, damn, I did it the wrong way.
Did you ever try to jump off a roof with the garbage can lids?
That's a new one. That's awesome.
It didn't work. Not for me, anyway. But I think if I had better shoulder. I don't know.
If I had better lats.
Yeah.
No, I've never done that. No, and I never wanted to, like, he's always trying to, like, push me into, like, fighting and, like, here, get into this.
I just like her tagging along to do anything that I'm doing. I just enjoy her presence.
It's fun. You know, you would love jujitsu.
Yeah, why?
If I could give you a button right now that you'd press.
Yeah.
And you could choke him to sleep if you wanted.
I wouldn't want to cause harm to him, though.
Or anybody you walk by in the street. Would you want to have that button? Not that you want to use it.
Oh, okay.
But would you like to possess that?
It's a pretty cool button to have.
That is a pretty cool button. I guess so.
And with that button comes a confidence of body connectivity, of body awareness, where you can really read another person, even with your eyes closed, just feeling them. So you're not scared of contact also. That's also what that'll give you. It'll take about 3 to 6 months for you to get that. Going three times
that's
a week.
Fast.
And like you can get that easily. And then it just grows from there. But that kind of confidence of like when you're talking about like, oh, when you walk in a room, like I never really thought about it until somebody asked me the question years ago. And I think, yeah, I'm never worried in a room that even if the whole room turned on me, I don't have a nervousness about that.
Oh, that's like, awesome.
You know what I mean?
And
and if somebody comes in and is like threatening or something, I'm like, I know what to do and to keep him safe and everybody else and all that. And yeah.
That's awesome.
But you could do that. Easy.
Do you have
easy.
That? Do
and it's
that?
The best thing for a woman for self-defense.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
I
know?
Agree.
It's 100%. I mean.
Yeah.
I have a much smaller version of that. Like I had a taste. Like so I wrestled in high school. And then when you wrestle, like you're always doing like monkey in the middle or like king of the ring type of thing where it's like I wrestle on 130 and I wrestle guys up to like 215, 220, you know, like just all different weight classes. So you're used to handling bodies all day long. And when you get that feel and you're like you're flowing, like you can wrestle with your eyes closed. So, you know, how I was telling you, like I was messing with my buddy the other day at his kickboxing gym. I haven't grappled or done any of that stuff in a long, long time. But just for in between breaks. I shot on him, I mounted him, and then he tried to buck me off, but immediately I knew to pin my shoulder on his shoulder and then get side control, throw my, and then I amazed myself and I was like, oh damn, like all this muscle memory. So I have a little bit of that confidence where I know 90% of the people in the world, they're just either going to be chin up swinging or
like going, a cholo,
or doing some crazy stuff. And there's just, I'm just going to have, I'm going to be like an anaconda on them until I meet like a purple belt or above, and then they'll just kill me. But like,
yeah, but having your composure.
I mean,
how many wrestling matches did you have?
I wrestled junior and senior year. I don't know, maybe like one. You do one or two a week.
And then how many? Amount. How many practicing? You know, I mean, you're
like 3 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of repetitions a week.
Yeah.
That you're, you know, and you get that good. One thing it does, even if you don't get great at wrestling, you don't give a shit about contact. You're not nervous about it.
Yeah.
And most other people that walk around are nervous about that.
I'm nervous.
Yeah. I mean, and so that's the first rule of fights. That's what Sticks taught me too, is proximity.
I'm scared of Sticks, though.
You got to keep your distance and then choose when to own the distance. You know?
Do you keep like a pair of sticks in your car just in case shit happens?
I used to. And I'm like, who are you? What are you doing, dude? Fuck's wrong with
you? You're like, my weapons are right here. I don't need that shit.
Well, and that becomes another thing too. Is like, you pull out a weapon, now we've escalated.
True.
Oh, right, you know what I mean? Right.
So
true.
There's a lot of good reasons not to.
I feel like you're downplaying so many things. Like, I feel like you're into everything, but you're just like, maybe for you, you're just like, oh, that's just a thing.
Well, everything's a thing until you get into it, right? And that's the cool thing about where we live is like right now, everybody I know, none of these jobs existed 20 years ago.
That's true.
Most of the people I know are working jobs that had no, that would have been you'd have been said you're crazy.
Yeah. What we're doing right now.
I mean, it's a trip, you know? And so like with that kind of thing in the world, it's like, everything's new, man. Dig into whatever. I love like Alan Watts would talk about it. Dig into whatever. Dig into whatever you want to dig into. And if that turns you on, that's the right thing. Don't think about making money.
Yeah.
What turns you on? What will you dig your soul into? And then that thing, you'll be an expert at it. And other people will be interested. And then all of a sudden, you're the expert at that thing.
Yeah.
But it's just like, be true to your shit. Be true to you, man.
Oh, man, you're speaking to me so hard. You keep speaking to me so hard. No, like I've just been like, I've been telling him and I shared with some of our viewers and stuff that like, I've just been in this funk. Cause like I've had this year off where I've given so much time to my son, which naturally that's the way it should be.
Being the best mom of the world.
Thank you. Trying. But then like, now I'm finding myself being like, well, wait, who am I? What am I doing? Like I was so like into so many different things and now I'm just so focused on him. And I'm like, wait, when I step back, I'm like, oh shit, but what am I really doing? Like, how am I really growing?
Isn't that who you, like, I think that's one of the beautiful things about being a woman though, is that you get to become this whole other thing in mother, you know? And like, that's what's up.
Yeah, it's dope. It's definitely dope, but and it's beautiful and I love it. But then at the same time, it's like you need to kind of remove yourself from it a little bit, because then you're just kind of lost in that.
Is it part of like a postpartum thing, or is that all over at this point?
I don't know.
I mean, because I wonder, you hear about that when people have real trouble with that. Yeah. And it's like, well, how many different areas does that affect? I mean, that's got to be.
Yeah,
I don't know. And how long does it string out for?
Yeah, I don't know that. I always thought the postpartum, like depression stuff, was like kind of in the immediate. And I'm thinking like when they were newborns. I don't know how long it drags out or how long it can.
I've heard it kicking in like 2 years later too.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I think it's when.
We call that creeper.
The creeper?
Yeah, that's a creeper.
Oh, that's my cousin's name.
She's Mexican, so she's probably at least five cousins named Creeper.
Creeper and kidding. Little Oak.
Yeah,
you know him too. Yeah. That's tight.
Yeah, I've read where like, and this can happen with any type of like, even other types of PTSD that don't even have to be war related.
Yeah.
Just something can hit and it takes so long for your mind to process things that it can kick in 2 years, 3 years later randomly.
But that's the thing. I feel like my mind can overcome anything. So I refuse to even think that way. Because then I just feel like if I give in to, it's got to be postpartum or I am depressed or whatever, then it's kind of like it got a hold of me somehow.
You are seems good then.
No, I'm not in a bad place, but I'm not like where I want to be.
No, but you're from a platform where you're like, I know who I am, who I've been, and now I get to decide who I'm going to be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I feel like I have a lot of like different outlets where I can kind of turn to. Dope. I don't feel like I'm trapped in any sort of way.
That's awesome. Being able to see options.
Yeah. It's really, really awesome.
And also come from a confident, like, corner. I think that's pretty cool too. Yeah, like a confident perspective.
It is cool. And then I'm surrounded by you and my friends and my family and stuff that do that. But like, as you're saying these things, I'm like, man, you're speaking to me. That's where I'm at right now. Like, I need to like feed my soul again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely like, I mean, I feel like I get these projects, I get going and I feel like I'm juggling, running downhill or something. And I'll do all the hours, all the everything, whatever. But then afterwards, I'm like, I'm not going to leave the house for 4 days.
Oh, because you're just so exhausted.
I'd get sick. Like I would go on these projects and then I would instantly get sick afterwards. Mm. Like after the responsibility was over, it would be just like the rush of getting normal.
Because your body's just so overwhelmed.
Trip, man.
So but what else do
I
you...
can't even imagine. Childbirth blows my mind. Blows my mind.
It's dope.
It's magic.
I feel bad for guys that you guys can't experience it because like,
I honestly wished I could.
I wish you guys could.
I wished I could deliver a baby through my penis or my butthole or somewhere.
I choose butthole. You choose butthole?
Yeah, totally. I would choose butthole.
Oh, yeah, true. That's yeah. That sounds better.
Do you choose throwing it up or through your nose? I mean, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
That's so true.
I'm so open-minded. No, it's dope. Like, after I gave birth, like, I look at women so different now. I'm like, man, we're so fucking amazing. And I'm like, and you guys will never know.
It's a trip, man. It's like. It is a trip. And it's beautiful to see, like, a lot of my friends had babies this year, and it's so transformative. It's just like, it's like it allows me to look at the human condition in a different way, I guess. It feels like you're almost a voyeur in somebody else's human condition.
Yeah.
And it's a remarkable thing, man.
One crazy epiphany that I had the day that our child was born, and my mind, it's not racist, but my mind likes to go in really weird places. And so
let's hear it.
So our child was born, right? And I'm like, oh my God, I have my baby for the first time. I was walking.
See who he is under pressure.
I was walking out to get, I think Postmates, like we're just ordering some food because she could finally have sushi now because she couldn't have it for like 6 to 8 months. And I see these four dudes that would stereotypically to like the American audience who would look like terrorists, but of course they're not. But I see them and I'm like, oh my God, all terrorists were once babies. As obvious as that is, right? I think you just don't, you know that, but you don't feel it. So I'm like, man, there's like everyone was at one point extremely innocent and nurturing, and they were like this blank piece of paper. And somehow through their experiences or environment, they were shaped a certain way. And I'm sure that the other side think America is terrorists, and they don't think that. I don't think anyone thinks they're the bad guy.
No, nobody.
But
does.
I'm just like, man, this is crazy. If there's a way that like the world can have more compassion instead of just labeling people, because we were all once know nothings.
Yeah,
it's weird how we got more labels.
Yeah,
there's more labels now than there's ever been ever before.
It's wild.
Which is a kind of a trip. It takes out biological classification, takes everything off the table, and it's just like, you're a unicorn or whatever the thing is. And and everybody's supposed to take that seriously, which it seems like a radical step backwards as far as understanding each other and a real great cause for more divisions and less unity amongst us, which watching it, it's a peculiar thing that we're sitting in.
It is wild. It is wild because then you also feel like, I mean, if you look at it in another lens, right, then you're just like, oh, that's pretty cool because, like, at least for women and a minority, like, now you feel like things are kind of getting equalized a little bit. But then it's so extreme that, like you were saying, like, everything's so divisive now. And it's like a part of me is like, oh, that's tight. Like, now I feel like, okay, like, we're equals now. I mean, not that I ever felt like I wasn't, but it's just so, like, everything, you just have to walk on eggshells for everything because you might just offend someone. And I'm like, wait, why? Like, it's okay to, if you get offended, then that's cool. Let's have a conversation about that. Why are you offended?
And that's kind of why I like the fighting stuff, because there's really, you just punch them in the face. So like in regular society where people are talking, like there's like all these extra eggshells, whatever. But I feel like a lot of the like combat arts, it's just a very true form to what it is. And there's no real extra bullshit. And I feel like if you're able to combat at that level, then like most of the fighters that I know, they don't really get caught up over little bullshit. Cause I just think they know what real war feels like. So when it comes to like people calling them names or like stupid internet trolls or whatever, they're just like, okay, that's not even real shit.
Do you think it's the same for females?
I think so. That are fighters. I think anyone that has pushed themselves to that kind of, I'm sure like marathon runners, no like way. Those guys.
I would say no way.
Yeah, I feel like all of
because,
those guys.
Like,
they know like what real shit is.
People still got kids though. And so you're on dude's page on the internet and he's got kids.
Oh.
And you're woofing all this. Like, so what's he to do? Take himself out of that part of the world because people can't behave. You know, and that becomes real too. And it's like, and I would argue that it's not the same for a woman. Like when my friends that are women get harassed online at any level, the highest levels, they're saying, I'll rape you. I'll beat you. I'll fuck you to death. Like, all like whatever. And those are the light stuff, things. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's not a threat you can make to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's ridiculous, you know?
Yeah.
And but that's real for anybody because it's just, I mean, men are larger animals.
Yeah.
and so to me, it's like it's a terrifying thing. And it's something that has to get kind of reeled in somehow in a way because it's too loose where you can't. I mean, like my friend, this Hawaiian guy, and I said, man, you guys, you don't talk a lot before you scrap. And he goes, No, you guys in the mainland. He goes, you got all your words and this and that. I feel you disrespect me, you get cracks. And that's it. And it's that simple.
I love that.
He's like, I don't need to get verbose about this. I understand your intention and let's get this then.
Yeah, let's fast forward to what we're really trying to get to.
And there's something about that that's like so clear. You know, I read this thing, clear is kind, unclear is unkind. And I was like, that's so clear, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's so clear. It's not muddy at all. Oh, if you want to be rude, you don't want to work this. You want to be rude to me.
Yeah.
Cool. Here's my answer.
Yeah.
And there's something like super kind of relaxing about it because you're like, everybody's clear with what the rules are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were talking about on a side conversation while we're filming yesterday. And sometimes like people take what you say out of context and they make up all these things. And it's like, wait, if you want to just say fuck you,
right?
Just say fuck you. Yeah. So I know how you feel about me and cool. Versus like trying to take my words and wrap it into all these things. It's like people are so unclear with what they want. Like if you don't like me, you could say you don't like me. And then it's clear and I get you don't like me. Yeah, that's
you're
fine.
Presenting this to the Congress of the internet. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Tell me to eat a dick.
Got it. Yeah. And I'm like, cool. Got it. Eat a dick. Got it.
Yeah. But I mean, but that also has to have like this, you have to have this deeper understanding of who you are as a person, right? Because I can only speak for myself. There are times where I'm agitated, but I don't understand that I'm agitated. So then maybe my words or the things that I say might come off a different way.
Yeah.
And then I guess maybe I'll learn quickly if I get cracked really fast. Cause then I'm like, oh shit, I shouldn't have said it that way.
Yeah. I think it's the Got thing though. It makes you think about how you land on other people.
Yeah.
If I go through life and I'm really super confident, if I see somebody super confident, I can be pretty sure that they're either that motherfucker or there's somebody that doesn't self-reflect a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know a lot of confidence. I mean, you guys are at the highest echelons of sport and performance and everything. You know a lot of high-operating people. Those people are always reflecting upon, like, is this right? Did I do this right? And even in man,
that's
true. How do you think I hope I didn't upset that guy. I'm in a hurry. Or, like, they're doing that all the time.
Yeah.
All day long.
Yes.
And to not do that, it's like to see this false confidence kind of that's welled up. It's like, I have no merit, but I have all the confidence. It's like, then you go, okay, how to beware around those situations too, right?
Yeah.
And that also leads to at least my mind goes into like, all right, well, while I'm raising my son, like I grew up getting my ass whooped, not the way he did at all. And that definitely taught me kind of like a tier, like there's an order of things, you know, and you talk to certain people a certain way and whatever. But now we're kind of in a generation where like there's a bunch of studies that's like, oh, you don't want to do that because these are the effects that your kid's going to have or whatever. But I'm still kind of like, I'm never going to beat my kids, but I'm just like,
unless you're really mad.
No, yeah. No, never. I didn't grow up in that environment, so I don't.
What's the worst beating you ever got? Or not a beating, or just spanking, or whatever, physical discipline?
Oh man, this one's kind of deep, but yeah. I won't say that one. But no, the worst one I got, I actually really deserved it. I fucked up so hard. My dad never, so in Latin culture, like, the dad doesn't discipline the daughter for like obvious reasons, right? Because it's like that's.
I think in a lot of cultures, the dads kind of stay away from the daughter.
Oh, really? It's like that.
I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like there's a disconnection there, and then it becomes a mystery in a weird way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a trip.
It's almost like that's that's the mom's job. Go, you go beat her ass.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Or because maybe the dad's like, well, she's this like dainty little snowflake. Like, I don't want to hurt my daughter.
Yeah.
But I fucked up so hard that my dad went in on me and like, that was the only time he ever beat my
What's
ass.
What's the in on, like closed fist?
So I had, yeah, well, kind of. I had braces and like he was just slapping. Maybe he had closed fist. I don't know. And he punched me and I had like a fat lip and I don't remember now. Maybe I had like a, maybe even a black eye.
Oh, damn.
But I fucked up.
Did it help you? As egregious as the fuck up was and maybe as deserving as the beating was.
Yeah.
Could the lesson have been learned without that?
Yeah.
In a way that connected you and them more.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I think the answers are there, right?
That's
it's like
true.
We got to go, okay, we got function and performance. That's what we're looking
at. Yeah, but what about like Caesar Milan, like when he just has to get your attention because you're just not paying attention and mm-hmm. like the logic of a child's not there. Mm-hmm. And they're just like fucking all over them. And you're just like, hey, like snap back
he
over does, here.
So he gets the dog's attention.
Yeah.
But he doesn't ever physically discipline them.
Yeah. And he never speaks. He doesn't even talk. He uses like, body language. He's like, and then he'll walk and he's not going to let you walk in front of him. Like there's all that, right?
That's
true. All this dominance kind of stuff of hierarchy.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know. I see some people that raise their kids like now people I know having kids now. And it's like, I get so jealous.
I'm why?
Like, because I'd love to be their kid. Like it's like you're being raised with heightened ideals for food, for movement, for consciousness in ways that never before has all this information been available to everybody.
Yeah.
And you see people that are high operating goddamn parents that are doing crazy fucking things with their kids. And it's a whole new expression, like not a whole bunch of physical stuff. Like there's, because I think there has to be checks and balances,
right? Yeah.
But you get to set the markers,
right?
You
know? Right.
I was at Disneyland, and then there's this kid.
I've never been. That's like child abuse, right? That's
never. Child.
Well,
can
you know
we
what?
Go? We guys take because I got to go with the family. I can't go by myself. Look at this. What am I going to walk around Disneyland and get arrested?
Totally. No you way. Have a dope look. Mm-mm. They even have like biker
I'll rent
gangs
a kid,
now.
Something.
Okay. We'll invite you next time.
All right.
But yeah, I was there, and there's this kid. He was like washing his hands, and I guess he was taking a little bit longer. And then the dad was like, hey, you want to hurry up a little more? You see that line behind us? And then the kid's like, oh, okay, cool. So he got the paper towel and like wiped his hands. And I'm like, just that bit of explanation helps the kid understand how I'm supposed to operate in the world. I don't want people to wait on me and all that.
And why?
Because when I was a kid, I would have got smacked. Like, why are you taking so long? Bam. And then not knowing.
But why is that? Because your dad got embarrassed.
Yeah.
Of the other people's stares instead of owning his space,
yeah.
Knowing who he was. I'm his father and I'm giving him lessons. That's my job all day long. I'm a parent.
Yeah.
I'm here giving this little fella lessons all day long.
Yeah.
And it's not about your guys' stare. And that's parents
tight.
Hold the line like that. And I'm like, motherfucker, I'm watching greatness. I'm watching excellent coaching right now. I'll sit here all day.
I like that's that. Tight. Owning the space. I like that.
Yeah, that's what
tight.
We do, right?
Because
you got to own the space to allow people to learn.
Yeah.
And that's in the Me Too environment, which I'm such a fan of in all the ways that it's great. But these deficits that I just look at of going, we need to tighten up the corners of this stuff is that learning space. I mean, if we don't know physical cues when you lean in to get your first kiss or whatever, and maybe it's rebuked. And then it's like, what, is that a sexual aggression? It's like, listen, cocksuckers. It's all sexual aggression. It's all biology. I've got this thing inside me that wants to promote life that I don't necessarily even have a say over. I have to really get conscious to control myself, which is why the trailer park is filled with fucking kids and all of that shit, right? It's like there's a lot going on. Give us some space to learn, man. We got to be a little generous with each other, I think. And that.
Can you open up a school so I can send my son to
I'm
your
trying
school?
To write a book.
Oh, that's
is it
going to
be in children's language?
It's going to be horrible, but my next one is going to be a children's book. Because as I've been exploring this process,
I love
I really
it.
Look at that. And I'd love to find an artist. And I would love to put out a children's book once. You know the best fucking job I ever had? It was Jessie. And it was a Disney show. And it was this girl, Debbie, I think, was the star of it. She was Jessie. And anyway, the best part of that show is I'd go in and I'd see friends back in Michigan or whatever, and they'd go, hey, how you doing? Da, da, da. And I'm talking to them, and then your little kids are right here, and they're staring at me. And 5 minutes goes by, and they go ahead and ask him, were you and Jesse? And these kids light up, and they just, it's next level excitement.
Yeah,
and to feel that from a group of kids, you're like, this is fucking
you're
awesome.
You're like a superhero.
Yeah. How great is that?
Yeah. I feel that every day when I come home. Like my son's like playing, and then I'm like, Tyka, and he goes,
He's got teeth now. He's got teeth.
And he wraps his lips around his teeth. Like he's seeing me for the first time every single day. I'm like, that's amazing.
Yeah, man. And a look like that, tell me that that guy doesn't want to please you.
Yeah.
Tell me that you ever really
you're
need,
me
tell, tell me you need to slap him.
I don't maybe need to slap him.
Maybe
ever.
He's going to need a smack sometime, but he's always going to want to please you.
Oh,
and he'll
yeah.
cut his fucking fingers off to do it.
Yeah.
And if you position that narrative, man, there's only growth. And I mean, what a beautiful opportunity.
True. True. Yeah.
Fuck, he's lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. I would. I'm never going to kick your ass ever.
You can't because I'm going to kick your ass.
Perfect.
Yeah. There's no ass kicking.
The
heaven.
Other thing is you train them how to wrestle. You train them, you know, people that are physical with each other. They don't need to express their physicality at the bar at night or whatever or this or that. It's like, no, we know what this is about anyway. I'm not going to test myself when I get drunk enough to have a little courage.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that's dope, man.
Yeah.
Damn.
All my pro fighter friends, they none of them have street fights or they don't need to. Like, just always try to get out of ultra because they know what a real fight feels like. But I do feel like it's like the people with a little, they get a little bit of liquid courage and they got to puff up their chest and like see what I'm made out of. But
You look at every Christmas, every Thanksgiving, I don't care what culture you're in, I bet it's the same. All those little kids get together, they wrestle.
Yeah.
That's what they're all doing when all the cousins and everybody, I don't care if you're an Indian, Chinese, whatever, everybody's tussling, man.
Doing something, yeah.
And if you gave them an actual, here's a template, you go through this schematic, and here's what a double leg looks like. You do this one, here's a high crotch, and you teach them actual skills with that, it's like, wow, now I have a confidence in my body and myself, and I'm not even 12.
Yeah.
Like, that's some, I mean, if we direct these things that are natural for us,
yeah,
whew, it's beautiful, and it takes care of a lot of the problems that we have. Yeah. We don't need ADD medicine all of a sudden.
True.
We don't need X, Y, and Z, you know, all
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Don't say too many things. You're going to disappear. The government's not going to like what you're saying. You're going to be like, he's fucking with
there's
our
no
money.
There's no money in what I'm
they're
saying.
Like, yeah,
you know what there is, though? There's freedom.
Yeah.
And so there's no money, so they won't bother you for this. But there's freedom there for your soul. And I think that's the key is, you know,
yeah.
you get your soul unlocked and then you free feel bound soul. Up again. How do I keep that space open? And that's, you know, part of the gig.
Is that what your book's going to talk about? Do you
a little bit
share?
About how to get out of your own way, you know, about like I started thinking about this.
I like that getting out of your own way. I feel like a lot of people are in their own way, but they don't know it.
I got, you know, we got this critic that lives inside our chest.
Yeah.
Right. And so I start thinking about the difference with the intellect and the emotions and the physicality and spirituality. And I think those are like the four aspects of humanity. And to have those out of balance is disorder, is a chaos, is an illness that we have. And then our soul sickness finds different things to. And so I think the more that I can understand that, I guess, and maybe that's what the thing is an exploration and maybe me writing things out so I can try to understand it better. But like in that conversation journal. Is like, how do I curate myself and the things that I've understood now that I didn't when I was 20 or whatever and what that big picture can look like. Because everything looks like the last deal. Oh, this is the last thing. I'm going to... Shit, this is a big thing. If I miss this phone call, oh, man, if I got that job, it would mean this. Ooh, if this comes my way... And, oh, shit, career-ending injury. God, I'm never going to be able to do this. Oh, look at me doing this again.
Yeah.
You know, and when you find out that all those great highs and those horrible lows and the things that are forever and never and always aren't true...
Yeah.
Fuck, you can get free and you can go, oh... Even if this sells for $1 billion, it doesn't mean much. It's just layering on for the next thing after that. These are all building blocks of how to curate yourself in a better way. How can I carry more for my community, kind of, I think. And I think that's the job. Anyway, I don't know if that's the job, but that's where I find my happiest times, you know?
Yeah.
That's dope. Yeah.
That is really dope. That is really dope.
That's the idea anyway. That's the mark I shoot for, you know?
Yeah. Because like for me, like, I never really liked, and this could be a bad way to look at it, but like I never really liked when people are like, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Right.
What do you see yourself doing? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I think, I don't know, wherever it takes me. Like, I'll be doing that when I'm there.
That's what I think.
And like, but, you know, school and stuff teaches you like, well, you got to know what you want to do in the next year, two,
if you
want to
be a
five.
Part of the system.
Yeah.
Because that's a system. That's an orchestrated system, like the prison system or anything else.
Yeah.
And this chunk of time means this. This chunk of time means this. This allots you this kind of income. And is that real or is that a fan? Is that like the stock market where it's based on your emotions? Come on, let's be honest. You know, like none of that shit's real.
Yeah, but I didn't know that. But I it just never felt right because I was just like, do I have to know? Like if there's all this knowledge out there, I'm like, do I really have to know what I have to do in the next fight? Like, who cares what I'm going to do? Like, just as long as I'm like, I always made it a point though. Because I'm not very bright, but I
You're
always
very bright.
Thank you. I always made it a point to be the stupidest person in my group all the time.
I hate it when the smartest person in the room is like, "No, I'm not." Like, how do you think that makes me
feel? This guy is the smartest guy that I know for sure. No, but like I made it a point at least to be like, if I'm the smartest person in my crew, I'm like, oh man, I'm fucking up. I need a better crew.
Right.
Or I'm like, we're not gonna go anywhere.
A guy told me, he says, you need an old timer in a hand and a newcomer in a hand. So you can give a little and you're the conduit and you're part of the mess. And I was like, "That I like that, you know? Oh, you know, yeah. And that's kind of like knowing where you are. I don't need to be a big shot. I don't need to be X, Y, or Z. I'm just this dude walking this way and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
Help a little, take a little.
And so all these like lessons that you came up with, how long did it take for you to accumulate all of these things? Or were they like little epiphanies you had along the way?
I didn't even know that I knew anything really, I guess. Like, Here's the thing about that.
Oh, how did you know you wanted to write a book or gather because, all these thoughts?
And here's what it was, just guys on the internet would send me questions. I'd get DMs or the way the internet opened everything up, you know, you don't even have to know my email to get a hold of me, right?
Yeah.
And so all these questions, and I would just make jokes and I'd say, it's in the book, or whatever. Because a lot of these things are like pretty long, they're a lengthy discussion it would take, you know? Yeah. And then I thought, maybe you should write a book. Maybe there should actually be a book. And so that was kind of the inception.
So when you wrote
"It's
in the book," you were just saying random things.
I was putting it off, right? One day, or whatever, you know?
That's awesome.
Or too much to type, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, all that.
But then I think about like, so all these things in the world, all these interests, all these, I could do X, Y, and Z. I think, Jesus, man, what does all that matter if I have all the knowledge of the world and I don't have myself curated very well? I have on my phone a Harvard education if I want. I can know any information of any question in the world anywhere about anything. I can know everything.
True.
And I'm on Instagram.
Yeah.
And so I have this portal into universal knowledge that I can access, that I could learn, that I could grow more. But I've curated myself enough that I need a dopamine hit every second.
Mm.
And so I'm on fucking Instagram. And so like, that the thing to me came back to like, everybody's like, how do I be a boss? How do I be a success? How do I be I'm like, how can you be a human and a citizen?
Yeah.
And the better human and citizen you are in good standing, all that stuff. I mean, you're going to be an admirable and a rare person. Like,
yeah.
That's what happens.
That's so sad that it's a rare person too. That's fucking sad.
It's a trip how easy it is to be uncommon. You know, yeah. It doesn't take a whole lot.
Yeah.
But the benefit is huge. And not just the benefit in a bunch of extra ways, but the benefit in just knowing me. You know, it's like, if I could, and I'm a lazy bitch that'll take the easy road. If I could have just worked a 9-to-5 job and just done that and not wanted to kill myself, I'd be doing that right now. I swear to God. But that puts my soul in such an uncomfortable position. I was like, this is untenable. I can't do this.
We ask each other all the time, if we had to.
Right.
If you had to pick like a 9-to-5 job, do you know
this is the worst? This is like, do you want to eat a bucket of slop or pig shit? Like this is, that's a horror. That's one.
I have mine though.
What is it?
This is the one. So if I had to work something, you're going to laugh at me, but I'm fucking serious when I say this and I've really given it a lot of thought. I just want to be a grocery store clerk pressing checking people out. Like, I would be so fucking happy pressing buttons and just...
What about the nails and all that?
No, I don't care. I mean, I can get... They're gone. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care.
You'd give them up for the career?
Yeah. I mean, the nails are whatever.
Okay.
But that's, like, that's all I would want to do. Like, just check groceries and then, like, and then this small, like, exchange with this person. And then now we're done. And now I have a new person.
Where do you live? Where's your grocery store?
Anywhere. It could be anywhere.
Oh really?
Not in the hood. Yeah. I wanted in a
Sprouts.
Not in a super affluent area, because then
or
I don't
is it
know.
El Tigre?
Which one?
It'd probably be like an Albertsons, maybe a no, a regular, not a Whole
like,
Foods,
like a regular one.
Not even a Whole Foods. Ralph's. I feel like
a Ralph's. Like Albertsons.
Yeah. Like it's got to be like the middle class, like it's one of those like middle class hoods, like areas, not a hood.
What time of the day?
Peak hour.
The night crowd is different.
I want peak hour.
Yeah.
Peak hour. I want it to be like I want a long line.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, I like work too.
Okay, I like
when you have a job and there's nothing to do. Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
The worst nights at a bar, at a nightclub, is when there's nobody there. When there's a bunch of stuff going on, couple of fights, this and that, thousand, like that's rad.
She used to work at a bar. out in Pasadena. It's like, is it a bar or is it more of like, what is it
called?
It
was like a tapas bar.
Like a tapas bar. And then you would say like when it was packed and people were ordering,
I loved it.
Like you just see the whole movement of the place. People like food coming out, people paying the bills.
This awesome soul. But then I don't like drunk people. Yeah. That was the only bummer. But I do like drunk people when they tip. That was nice.
Guys don't get that, really.
No.
I mean, unless you're fucking hot. Yeah, I mean, just gotta wait. You gotta go on the girls.
I gotta find a different living.
So with what I said, my 9 to 5 would be, because it like most people think 9 to 5. All right, well, how do I pay the bills?
I guess it would be nice too, because at least you're not in a cubicle.
Yeah,
and you're around and there's different people all the time. I can see your choice.
What would you want to do? You don't know yet.
I maybe next time I'll come back. I'm gonna think about it. It's a lot right now. I gotta drive all the way home.
Lot
going on. I'm gonna have to get a graph.
I don't know.
I'm nervous right now. I've only just heard about it, and I'm not done with.
Oh damn! Your heart's still.
Yeah, I could tell you a couple that I thought about. So like for me, I think I get a lot of satisfaction knowing that someone is leaving feeling better after their interaction with me. So I used to cut all my friends' hair. So like, you know, when they come in, they feel like all sloppy or whatever. But if I can clean them up real nice and they look in the mirror and they're confident.
And you're like an artist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they leave and they're like, oh, man, I can go on a date. So I could see myself being a barber.
That's a good one.
I could see myself, I was telling her, like being a car detailer. Like I like little like using my hands, you know.
Oh.
So if someone brought in like a super dope car, really dirty, but I cleaned it all up and they're like, woo. It's like almost I bought a brand new car and they leave driving off bumping music. But don't roll the windows down.
We're living the life.
You're gonna spot them up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I think I guess I'd be a counselor or something. I'd probably work in a rehab center or something like that.
Oh, that's dope.
I bet something like that would be fulfilling.
I think so too. I feel like you but kick like good knowledge.
That component you put on, if you're not helping people, like it's like, yeah, you can be in part of the brightness of somebody's life. You know what I was thinking about CEOs and all that and the inequalities with men and women and nobody wants to be a CEO.
I don't want to be.
Women are smart. Like, there's no reason they want it. Why would they want to be where it's just sharks, piranhas that are eating each other, that are pretending to be friends? Like, that whole thing, like that whole high level business, it's like, even most men, there's only like a half a percentage of us that are at that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, nobody wants those jobs. And those aren't people they don't matter. Those people don't matter.
Yeah.
The people that matter, if I ask anybody who matters in their life, they're going to come up with a teacher, a nurse, a babysitter, a counselor, somebody that afforded them a nicety and niceness that they had never seen before. And it's usually somebody like that.
Yeah.
And we don't, I mean, it's crazy how we value stuff.
It is. Yeah. I mean, look at teachers. Like, their salary is the worst. I'm like, that's fucking tragic. Like, my mom worked out of school for like, I don't know, like maybe 30, close to 40 years. And it was just so sad that a lot of these teachers had to pay for shit out of pocket because like they're just like budget cuts. And, and I'm like, damn, like this is the future of our nation.
And it seems as if there's a concerted effort to make the next generation less good than this one, than the last one.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild.
Yeah. That's what we're looking at. Like we're doing like such grown up things where we're like looking at our home, like a forever home that we want to buy. And we're all looking into school districts. Like what's the coolest good school? And I would prefer to put our kid in a public school. So I'm looking for a school that has like a good public school system so that they can get way
Pasadena,
more.
Pasadena, right?
Yeah. So South Pasadena is what I'm looking at. And
I thought about it. It's the only place I would, if I had kids here in Southern California, that's, I think, the only place I would
live.
That's
where we're trying to go. Yeah, and we're going to be neighbors.
And I follow like their Instagram for their high school and their junior high. Like when I get into things, I really research. And then the other day I was showing, I'm like, look at these little junior high kids. They're learning how to make sushi. And I'm like, that's so cool. Like,
yeah, he follows the school on Instagram.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm a weird guy. I like to get really into stuff.
Care about your kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, you know. I've got friends in Venice, and they're like, they had to move across an alley, so that because their kid was going to the next school and to be in the school district they wanted, they needed to live 40 yards to the north.
They're dope parents.
It's
crazy
like
though.
Redondo? They're trying to get into that school, like Redondo Beach.
I don't know.
Because I was looking down in that area too. I was like, Redondo Beach has a school district. Manhattan Beach has a good school district. I forgot what other ones, but
La Cañada.
But I was just talking about like South Bay, like there. Beach area.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. This is. I think Pasadena's dope. That's the place. I love it. You got space up there. It's nice.
We're trying to go there.
Or Colorado, the second nicest place to raise a kid in California would be Colorado.
Really? Why was that a joke? Wait, I'm lost.
That's another state.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're saying.
Oh yeah, that's how I was like. California. That's how I was like. Wait a minute.
Colorado is. It's like second California.
I thought
almost.
It was like Pasadena. There is the Colorado Street, and then I'm like, wait, what does he mean?
There's probably like a Corona del Colorados. Also, I bet there's probably one.
Yeah.
We'll get tweets about it.
Yeah. Yeah, they're gonna let us know. Man, this is a great conversation, but I
it's
think
fun.
We're,
yeah.
we're coming towards the end of
yeah,
our...
it's a great eye-opening one. Is there a...
I love it. I want to keep talking.
I do too. And I'm going to start up my podcast again, and then we'll talk again there.
Yes, please.
Perfect.
What's the name of your podcast?
Pirate Life Radio.
Yes.
That's a dope
and
name
And I kind of, I just, when I started doing all this, like, we just started doing a whole bunch of stuff when we just redid all this, and then this book, and I just stopped doing it about 6 months ago or something, but... We've got a bunch recorded, and I'm like, okay, let's get serious and get disciplined and have all these.
It would be an honor to be on.
It'd be fun, man.
It'd be sick.
That's the thing. It's like, that's the biggest thing. How do you have fun? How do you have more fun, right?
I agree.
There's a way to make money and have fun.
Gotta get your ass kicked.
And that's it.
I disagree.
Put yourself in horrible, uncomfortable positions for like critical, finite matters of time, and then the whole rest of your life gets easier.
Yeah. I'm going to... do this like scuba certification thing tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
a paddy deal?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the more I'm reading about it, how your lungs can burst and like how you got to like equalize and all these things, it scares me. And then the more it scares me, I'm like, the more I have to do it.
That's wild. Like, there's I need
a,
to feel
like
that.
There's this part where this part where they're talking about how like you know, sometimes you chase a fish cuz it looks so beautiful, or like maybe your tank something happens to it and you get really anxious. And it's natural for people to want to swim directly to the surface to get air.
Right.
But you want to go against your biology and just do slow, steady breaths and not move.
Damn, that's deep. That's like life.
Yeah. So I'm like, that's how you control your anxiety. And
yeah,
I'm
you
like,
get anxious, don't flail.
Yeah. So I'm like, I have to do this. Like,
that's
I have
Confucius beautiful. Shit.
Yeah.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
And where are you going to go dive? Do you know the first, like, do you have a trip planned for after you?
No, so I'm just my buddy, he's a LA sheriff, uh-huh. and he's trying to get his dive certification, and we're just talking about it. I'm like, dude, I'll do it with you. So we're going out to the Channel Islands, like right off of Ventura County.
Super, man.
Yeah, so I'm doing that tomorrow. So that's going to scare the shit out of me. Every Tuesday and Thursday, I get my Muay Thai coach kicks my ass and scares the shit out of me, but then it makes me feel alive.
Dude, there's a friend of mine, he's got a place right around here.
Yeah.
And if you want to pick up an amateur fight, like, we should talk about it and get you trained and all that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But these guys are great. And it's right nearby here. And real good Muay Thai. Like excellent, like top level.
The Yard?
Glory Kickbox. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you know Joe and them?
I don't know them. So I trained there a little bit, like long time ago. And I would see Joe in the corner. And he would scare the shit out of me.
He's a fucking one of the kindest dudes ever, man. We'll go over there sometime. He'll be back after Cowboys fight in a couple weeks or something.
Oh, okay. That's dope.
Yeah, but like all those, yeah. That and they're all the active. Shit out of me too. But how fun would that be if you're like, here's some, and they'll help. They'll be just all love, man.
Yeah.
How cool.
That's awesome.
Okay, it's something like that. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
So if people want to get connected with you, where can they find you?
Tate Fletcher on Instagram, kmancoffee.com. That's it. Yeah, I'm easy to find.
Man. Pirate Life Radio. Yeah.
Pirate Life Radio.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys. Love you guys, man. It's always a treat. It's like this is the top part of my week, really.
Ah, you're getting me again. Stop it.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you guys. Yeah.